Chapter 1, Lake Baikal, Siberia. Like always, the eastern shore of Lake Baikal, the sacred sea, the pearl of Siberia, was shrouded in mist all the way up above the peaks. Out on the water in the morning, the wind cast a determined late-season chill. The captain stood broad-shouldered, square-faced, and hale, with a crew cut and a Reebok jacket, and I liked him right away. Not a lick of English, but he made us coffee with water from a big painted teapot below decks and offered pelmeni that we coveted but politely refused. Couldn't be sure if we wouldn't be eating his own lunch. Over the weekend, the jetty at Listvianka, a bedraggled tourist town on the lake, had been packed with trinket vendors and mongers of exotic Siberian fish like omal and grayling. On Monday morning, it stood deserted, except for a drunken bottle recycler and three or four ship's mates and dockhands, loitering around stale cigarette butts and discarded wrappers. The new week crept up in autumnal dampness, the clouds in stratified layers. Surveying the dock and our little ship, the Porochik, the Gilligan's Island theme etched into my head. Ours is a 4-hour tour. A simple west-to-east crossing of one of the world's great lakes. The Porochik, white, blue, and red tricolor flapping above, was a diesel-burning 40-foot cruiser with two cabins below decks and a separate galley and mess. Must have started life as a fishing boat before they'd refitted it for charters, with benches, tables, and chairs, and there were liqueurs and vodka and a TV below. Pine forests stretched around rocky outcrops up the hills along shore. An hour after the Porochik set sail, we came upon a settlement called Bolshoi Kodi, the last tenuous human imprint, and then north for miles of lakeshore, lonely, primeval forest reigned. For some time, the Porochik aimed for a promontory that wasn't on my map, and then swung hard to starboard for the crossing. A low blanket of gray from the west, from Irkutsk, replaced the sunshine of the last few days. There were arrangements for later. Someone from Ulan-Ude, quote, "We'll meet you at Klevka, a place you're going to. This is definitely." Made it seem like the Russian Autonomous Republic of Buryatia was a foreign country, not simply the other side of the lake. And who knew? Maybe it would be. The temperature plunged when we swung away from the protection of shore and into open water. And after an hour and 40 minutes, the mountains of the Arbadan Range on the far side of Baikal loomed tantalizingly close, breaking above the clouds. Back home, imagining exotic Siberia, I naively thought it'd be fun to get out on the lake, like it'd be fun to have a nice piece of candy. But out in its gray middle, Baikal slapped me humble, tossing and pounding the Porochik to grab our attention and insist that it's a mighty inland sea. Finally, all you could do on board was just hold on. We ate a lunch of bread, tomatoes, sausage, cheese, and onion down below, and wished we hadn't. We went out for air. When we went back down to clean up, bottles, plates, and chairs littered the floor. Eventually, we made the eastern shore and found our way into Ulan-Ude with just enough time to walk to the Parliament Square before dark. Kids giggled at a massive linen head there. They said, "It looks really funny with snow on the top." The hotel still employed Soviet-era floor ladies, whose job was to mind your business. Ours drolly noted our extraordinary good fortune because of environmental conference with important delegates, and the lobby buzzed with them. They'd turned on the hot water. A day at an old Soviet hotel in Ulan-Ude, and a quick trip out to a Buddhist monastery. Tomorrow, we'd climb onto a train to Mongolia. We'd been on the road for days, just needed a little rest. We were battered and a little worn as we slumped into chairs after dinner and tuned in the 10 o'clock news. There was a sports report. It was interrupted by curious pictures we didn't really understand. It was all in Russian, of course. And then sports returned. Minutes later, they interrupted the sports again to show pictures of the second plane slamming into the World Trade Center. Chapter 2, Greenland. You know those gauzy coffee commercials where cozy people savor their morning brew, steam rising in circles from the cup? In the midst of a scene like that, cradling our cups in our hands in Silva's kitchen,